Well, good morning, everybody, and thanks, Wade, and happy Election Day to our friends in the U.S., from your friends to the North. Should be an exciting day later on. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some of the work we've been doing in Winterweed. It occupies about 40% of the activities within my research program, and unlike the U.S., it's kind of a hard sell up in Canada. And part of the problem is spring wheat growers, if they experience any issues with growing winter wheat, they'll try it once and they won't try it again. They're die-hard spring wheat growers, whereas they can have train wreck after train wreck with a spring wheat crop system and we'll go back to it. And so in relation to that, in trying to entice newer growers, the one thing that kept coming up again as a bottleneck to adoption was the area around getting good stand establishment. And so from that, and partially related to the fact that there was at that point in time sort of disagreement in anecdotal reports about the utility of seed treatments, were they a help or a hindrance, basically, in terms of fall stand establishment. So from that, we developed two hypotheses. One, that we felt that seed treatments could improve crop competitiveness, and also that the differences in those responses may relate to differences between active ingredients. Our pathologists were kind of interested also to see, well, what if we also took a different active ingredient and actually applied it in the fall, a fall foliar fungicide application. So from that, the first phase of this study then was to tease out these various active ingredients into a two-factor experiment run across various sites across the Canadian prairies. Basically separating out active ingredients. So for example, fungicide one here was tebuconazole, fungicide two was metalaxyl, and of course we also wanted to look at insecticide responses, so imidacloprid or a neonic. And then we compared those three to either a check of no treatment at all or the full dual fungicide insecticide that you would see in packages available to farmers such as Raxyl WW. And then we went out in mid-October, roughly at the 3 to 4 leaf stage, which is when we would recommend producers to apply a fall herbicides like fall 2,4-D if they were so inclined, and put on prothioconazole. And so the results of the ANOVA were basically we were getting some responses around yield and some marginal responses around plant density, which was somewhat of a surprise, and we'll talk about that throughout this presentation, but the planting density was at a relatively moderate to high, which is 400 seeds per square meter or 40 seeds per square foot. And this is typically what we would observe in our plots through across 26 site years. The plot on the left is an untreated plot. It's not looking too bad, but definitely I would take this one over and over again. And even though it's just an observation, that result you see here, which is, to me, the plants looking more vigorous and a little bit fuller stand, sort of relate in reports previously by Ford et al., Larson and Falk. And those basically aren't in explainable terms related to the biotic factors that we think about when we think about fungicide seed treatments or insecticides. This is basically a change in that plant metabolic pathway system such that they're becoming more resistant to abiotic factors, which is really the interesting part about seed treatments. And so in relation to a couple of response variables on the y-axis here is stand density, and then we just overlaid that or superimposed that onto a measure of variation for each of the treatments, and in this case a coefficient of variation, so that you would get a mean of the crop response on this axis, on this line here, and then this vertical line here would be the mean CV. And so for most of the responses, you want to be up in here, a high response, but a consistent response. And in this case, tebuconazole and the imidacloprid were giving us very good responses. So was the combination, but a little more variable in this case. But interestingly, both of those had the fall foliar, and in the case of tebuconazole, you remove the fall foliar, and all of a sudden you've dropped below average plant densities, and it's becoming more variable. And of course, the worst typically was our check and no fall foliar. And that sort of translated into similar responses to yield. Both the imidacloprid and the tebuconazole giving us high, stable yields, as was the combination. But interestingly, all three also were coupled with the fall foliar. Without it, similar, possibly even higher yields, but a little bit less in relation to cropping system stability. Particularly with the tubiconazole, it actually drops to below average and more variable grain yield. And this we thought, well, this response to the fall foliar, it must be because of the outbreak that we had of stripe rust in the fall of 2010 at these three site years, which was creating significant differences for grain yield. And it was quite a pronounced and heavy infestation of stripe rust. But the fact is, after 26 site years, those were the only three site years, and we continued to get that response to that prothioconazole applied in the fall, which actually isn't that much of a surprise, as it's purported to have some frost tolerance properties that it can impart on the crop. Overall, the net returns, which would be of interest obviously to the growers, so not only were we getting system stability and higher yields with Raxel, but we were, the Duo, but we were also seeing the best net returns with that, the worst returns with a check. And the other actives on the fungicide alone, not as competitive either. So then for the next stage, we integrated seed treatments with a more complex agronomic system. So in this case, we're integrating it with seeding rates or sowing density, and we're using 200, which is half to below half of what an optimum sowing density would be, to sort of mimic perhaps a less than desirable stand in the fall. Comparing that to moderate to average planting, and then a seed size, which we were using as a proxy for seed vigor. So in this case, we were taking a regular bulk seed of the cultivar CDC Buteo and running it over a scalper. Any of the light seed or any of the seeds falling through were a light seed. Anything scalped over top would be considered heavy. And then seed treatment. We either applied the dual fungicide, insecticide, or none at all. And again, similar responses on the ANOVA in relation to plant density as well as yield. And this is what we would typically observe in this system. This far upper left photo here is a thin seed with no seed treatment at a light planting population. The difference between these two only, though, is just the application of that seed treatment, and that's it. And so you'd think, oh, that's a great difference there. However, you start to look at when you have a very strong agronomic system of a good seed lot, a high planting density, then the difference between not applying it here to applying a seed treatment becomes less apparent. And that's sort of what we see here when we look at spring plant densities. Obviously, when you have the highest seeding rates and cut it in half, you get quite a stark differences in results, but not anything too apparent happening here with respect to the seed treatment, although we are seeing it as part of the system that provides us with the highest and most stable returns. But there is some stability properties probably. The worst system would be poor seed, no seed treatment at the lowest planting population, but you package that with a seed treatment and you're starting to increase your plant populations as well as becoming more stable overall. And those translate into yields for the most part, with a strong agronomic system providing the most stable yields. Two of the three out of here did, even at that high planting population, require the seed treatment to get those results. But more interestingly, the system that was weak, so in this example here, our worst system here was thin, the check in a low planting population. But if you package that same system with a seed treatment, now you're above average with respect to your yields. And you're even higher if you had a good seed lot in the case of these two systems here and packaged it with a seed treatment. So how does that translate into net returns when you have something like this, where you're talking about a most sustainable type of system over here, giving you high yield and stable yield across 26 site years? But a farmer asked me, well, why wouldn't I go with this one? Because I can cut my seed input costs in half and still be competitive. and that bears out when you do the net returns. If you solely look at a one-year type of crop phase, it is the most profitable system. However, one could argue that although it's profitable in that one sort of cropping season, over time it would probably be prone to greater abundance of weeds and weed competitiveness, and so we tax that system with an additional herbicide input relative to the other two systems, and so that brought the net return up to, or dropped it to 148, but it's still competitive, and so this is something that that rather than concede that this might be a better system, what we are arguing here is that you do have insurance when you package it with a seed treatment versus not. So to conclude, we did see definite benefits with the fungicide and insecticide treatments in relation to various crop response variables, and that led, as importantly, to higher yields, greater system stability, which is equally a consideration. And the whole idea of wanting a sound agronomic system but using those seed treatments so that we have insurance to mitigate not just biotic factors, but more importantly, probably those abiotic factors that are way more of a concern with a winter growth habit than a spring growth habit in relation to spring wheat production. So the whole idea of a fall foliar fungicide probably gave many pathologists the shivers. Even though we saw positive responses in our results, it ended up being cost prohibitive. But it was kind of enlightening to see that prothioconazole likely having such a long systemic activity and positive response to those plants. So with that, thank you.